for the sake of time, we know it's a weekday. We're going to have three questions. And then, you know, they'll be around informally for a while so you can ask your questions individually. And we don't want to hold everybody captive. You know, it's a lot of people that got to go to work and school and out of that respect. So does anybody have any questions for any of the panelists? You know, we ask that you make your way because we are taping this for later radio broadcasts and web broadcasts. So does anyone have any questions?
I got a question. Okay. In the case of my son, Lorante Studisville, he got shot in the back by the police in 2007. It was on the news. It said that he swallowed some dope and that was a probable cause, right? There's no dope in his stomach. I said he had a gun. We have no guns to this date. He's facing charges, but there's no gun. There's nothing like that. So now I'm wondering this. Now that we still fighting the case, and now my son's still facing charges, and the officer involved...
Alan Leal,
in that situation when JR and I told me to go to town hall meeting, they wouldn't let me ask questions about my son. They wanted to talk about the cars that parked outside. They wanted to talk about who robbed or burglarized the car or who was throwing bottles outside. They wanted to talk. The captain, I believe, he turned away from me. He said, I'll talk to you one-on-one. I said, why don't you talk to me with all these people? And so what I'm trying to wonder now that the case died down and now that other people have died, other children, my son was the first one, I think, he started this all off. My son was the first one who got shot. I'm wondering how I'm going to keep the voice out there. How I'm going to fight these people, because ain't nobody running to me. When Jesse Jackson first came, when it first happened, people ran to me. But when it, you know, when they said he did something wrong, or he must have did something wrong, he was guilty. Then he sell dope, he said he was a dope dealer. Now ain't nobody talking to us. You know what I'm trying to say? Now my son is affected. Our relationship ain't even the same. You know, ain't nobody helping us. You feel what I'm trying to say? So I want to know what resources y'all might know, everybody in here, to where we can still keep this going for my family and other families of kids who are still alive.
Well, briefly, why don't you give the people like a quick brief update on what happened and when it happened? Because he wanted to feature people too who was going to speak after, but we might as well take care of that now.
Oh, okay. I'm Don Sanders, Lorante Studisville, in West Oakland over here, 22nd Park. He was in East Oakland the night before 4th of July, and he was kicking with his friends. Police pulled up on him. He said the police officer tried to hit him with his car, so he just broke. Now, my son ain't no angel. I know he was out there doing his thing, but whatever the case is, he had nothing on him when it got to him. We ain't had no guns to this day. The judges even asked the DA, where's the evidence? There's a whole bunch of paperwork, but there's no evidence. There's no gun still. You know what I'm trying to say? He's still alive. He ain't dead. You know what I'm trying to say? So that's basically the cap of the case. Alan Leal shot him in his back. The neighbors said they heard, pow, get down. That's what the neighbors heard. Okay, so... in the midst of all this, it seems like my son is getting some kind of leniency in that don't nothing seem to pop up, but he's still facing a charge. And the officer is still, he on duty. And there's been 7 shootings since then of children, or people in the back, or murders in cars, or whatever's going on. Ain't nobody paying attention. When I was on the radio with him, when I was on YouTube, everywhere, nobody's paying attention. So that's the breakdown of my case. But still the question remains the same. I don't have the tools, I don't have the money to fight these people. John Burr is my attorney. I ain't talk to him in a minute, but... it seems like if it ain't newsworthy, then you ain't worthy.
Anybody want to take that?
Brother, I think that there's so many cases that should be put in the front that sometimes we're just not aware of. We've been town halling every Saturday for the last few weeks at 4 o'clock at Olivet Missionary Baptist. One of the things that we want to do is give voice to those that have suffered. And so why don't we make sure we're together so we can put what you're dealing with in front of the public view. If you get the New Final Call newspaper, for an example, that just came out today, it features Oakland again. In fact, I only have one. They're hot off the press. And on the cover, the cover story is the high price of police brutality. And when you read the story there, and I just kind of browsed it before I came here, it deals with the millions of dollars that cities are paying. They don't have jobs for people because they're spending millions and millions of dollars to respond to cases like yours. And of course, Attorney Burris is one of those that's making the city pay. And that's okay, but it's not the equal of justice in law enforcement officers that are held to account. Fully aware of the case, but I want to be. So you should come and bring the information with you. Let's sit down, let's talk and strategize. So so we can help put your case right back in front of the public.
Go ahead. This is not to you, particular brother, but let me say this also just for the record. A lot of times without organizing, let me articulate it straight. They have a policy with the attorneys. I know what you call them, particularly, I'm sure it's nationwide. And attorneys would literally go to families as soon as the kids go down, they would literally ask them. As Fred Hunter Jr. approach you, as you know, POCC approach you, literally. And they would tell all these families, they would duct tape their mouths, that's what we call it. Tell them, don't say nothing, don't say anything. And I commend you, I know this, but you didn't go with the program. You did interviews with so on and so forth. But let me say this. I said the other day, Richard Pryor referred to say he's a peopleologist. I'm also a peopleologist, I study people. And the reality is, I'm telling you, it'll be ideal if our people, we don't say, will mobilize on every case, so on and so forth. But the reality is, man, a lot of these cases, they have a certain amount of what we refer to as shelf time. You feel what I'm saying? And they be hot so long. And a lot of these lawyers, I'm not saying nobody, I don't know the situation the attorney you got. If you go back and study it, they don't be beating no cases. They have a relationship with the state. You know what I'm saying? And I give specifics. You know what I'm saying? Lawyers, there was not the case with my Chairman Fred. My father was assassinated. The struggle was that we went through with them attorneys. The plan B, you know what I'm saying, come through, try to hush stuff up. They let on the settlement come up. You see it on the settlement on the paper, but you know what the chop, the lawyers get, you know, they come up with the legal expenses, so on and so forth, and certain questions never got addressed. And the reason this is done, they could get an impression to our people. Only way you can get justice to a lawyer, so on and so forth. They never can let you know the power of the people. Similar to in India, how they train elephants. It's a policy in training the elephant. They say the person who trains the elephant, he can never let the elephant see him like crush a cup or crush anything in comparison to the trainer doing it. In other words, I'm saying the elephant can never grasp that he is stronger than the trainer. Y'all follow me? When you train elephants in India, they say never like step on nothing and then let the elephant step on nothing, because he'll say, man, I'm stronger than this dude who run around here, you know, parading around this old clown circus. The state got to keep you under the impression, man, that you cannot fight in your own interest. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be you gotta get this lawyer, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of your own interest, they can play their roles. But that's the role of that. But I'm saying, but I want to say to all victims, fans, was them to the victim and the fighting back victim. And I'm telling you, it's a policy, man, with the attorneys, other thing, they're told families. The first thing they ask when the case go down, we got a case, guess when the case is up there with families, say, man, they don't say nothing. Then when the lawyers get through messing over, the media get through playing over them. Then they come back. Then they come back. That's man. And I'm going to say this too, just for record. When we organize these cases, it's gonna be no personal thing. That's why we gotta get reality checked in a lot of people, a lot of families. Can I get them cats told Rodney King in LA? Rodney King came and told the people, man, you know, can we all just get along? Them cats said, hold on, man, don't get this twisted. Don't flatter yourself. This ain't about you personally, man. You know what I'm saying? You happen to be in a situation. It's not for real. Man, we do this so much. I take our new recruits when they join POCC, I tell them. I said, now we go. I usually have a whole steal. I said, then you want to use the person. You get the uncle. I get the mother. I know how it's gonna go. One person, I don't have to do with it. It's always a fight in the family. It's with us. I know the whole stereotype of it, man. But I do this. One person would come up who ain't never been in contact with the victim. All of a sudden they come up, man. You know, so what I have to do with this is so on and so forth. But man, we do a case. We say free Mumia Abu-Jamal. We say free Aaron Patterson. We see a free Fred, man. Yeah, man, it's bigger than us, man. These are symbolisms. You know what I'm saying? We say when opportunity knocks, that's the door of the hinges, man. And that's the commitment that we get from these people. Say, man, because I'm willing to be used. In these cases, you got to make the relationship, the deal. I don't want to say the word deal, but these cases are going to be, we say, put 3 minutes in jail. Man, that case, and then the street, we did a street sign in Chicago to fight to get a street name after my father. You think it was just about a street sign? That was a tactic to expose so much of what we did. You know what I'm saying? So these cases, these come in And you might with these other cases, you know, when the spotlight is on them. You know what I'm saying? Same way the United States. When they send something on September 11th, they don't care about, they don't know about September 11th. They using that to justify pushing some more laws and attacks on the people. You know what I'm saying? The fine print. So get on with these cases that we're working on, and man, the case will soon all be in the fine print. You know what I'm saying? These are just tactics that we use, man. And it's objective. Ain't no personal thing. Free Fred, man, it's bigger than me. If I ever got a twisted believer, oh man, this is about me. Oh, I get a reality check. Fremont.
One more question. Anybody got one more question? Or we got to make your way.
Greetings to everybody. First off, I want to give my sympathy to a brother that was killed in San Francisco the other day, not by the police, but by some cowards. A brother who got his life together and, you know, was proud of having his home, and some cowards went and broke into his house, stole his property. He reported it. They beat him up the same day. He didn't want to leave his home. And he confronted them and asked them about it, and they killed him. I'm going to keep it going, just, you know. Anyway, what can we do? Because we've been going out a lot into the community and trying to talk to a lot of brothers and sisters that is out there being in contact with the police on a daily basis, but really don't have a connection with a lot of the so-called organized groups who be rallying in their name, you know, that they don't never see or hear about or come in as their community leaders. So what kind of connections can we do to bring those that's right down the street in Campbell Village into the process, you know, and hear their voices and everything, and when do be protesting or rallies that we start seeing more of their faces, you know, participating in these protests and things. Thank you.
Some of the things that we've done about different things with the policing and when we're going into the communities is a lot of times people don't really know what the police are doing. My father used to be a police officer a long time ago when, you know, he couldn't even arrest a white person. He would have to tell you to stand there till they call a white police officer. I mean, he was like, I can't deal with this foolishness because he wasn't from the South. But my father always taught me that, you know how sometimes, like a long time ago, you saw movies where apparently the devil or the demon wouldn't cross the threshold of the church because you knew it was holy in there. And sometimes I sit there and I worship and I think the person that's like the devil knows the Bible or the Torah or the Quran better than I do. Sometimes you gotta, the same way they infiltrate you, you gotta infiltrate them. There's citizen police things where you can go to trainings and you can learn everything that they do. You can ride with the cops. They don't have to know that you're, you know, out here in the community doing these things, but you have to know what they know and you have to know what they do and you have to use that to your advantage. And so sometimes you have to be willing to do things that you wouldn't normally do, associate with people who are not like-minded like us, so that we can make sure that our information are in those communities and we know what those communities are thinking about us. So the thing about it is when you're riding around with the police, a lot of times we see things that are happening and we can't engage. You know, like the brother said, you just have to videotape, you just have to watch, but you have to make sure that they know you're watching, but you have to understand that once you engage them, you can cause yourself more problem and the person that you're handling. So what you need to do is we need to find people that are like-minded like us, that are willing to infiltrate, the same way they infiltrate us. I mean, in Savannah, I got police officers who've been on the force 30, 40 years and they still consider themselves colored. And they use them to infiltrate our groups. I mean, just like they were spying on the amnesty groups over there in Virginia, I mean, they do that all the time. It could be police officers sitting right in here undercover. You would never even know it. And so the thing about it is that you have to be very strategic what you say, when you say it, how you say it. And when you're having town hall meetings, you need to make sure of who is amongst you, because some of your information gets to people that you don't need it to get to, and they use it against you. So always understand your surroundings, but educate yourself first. When you're meeting with groups of people, you need to understand the system. There are systems that we can see, systems that are, I always tell my son, formed and unformed. You know, in Georgia, they have a thing where, I don't know about California because I don't live out here, but we have a third grade rule that they build prison cells based on how many black males can't read and write by the third grade in the South. And I'm pretty sure they're doing it all over. So you need to understand some things, but you need to be able to identify what's happening and use that to your advantage. And the thing about it is, you all have the power to do it. But, you know, sometimes I always tell people, sometimes we have to stand alone. But, you know, if you believe in a higher power, you're never standing by yourself. But the thing about it is, you have to stand. And that's what's important. You know, because sometimes, you know, they're talking about health care. I mean, 8 years ago, I was given 6 months to live. I'm still battling cancer. But you know what? I'm a warrior, so I'm battling. So the thing about it is, you know, you have to infiltrate what you can infiltrate. I had people that despised me because I stood up for my brother. But then when I became a cancer survivor, I had all these rich white women that wouldn't even associate with me back then. But when they found out what I was advocating for health care, then they said, well, she can't be all that bad, and he can't be all that bad if he's related to her. So sometimes you use what you use when you got it, and you use it to your advantage. And I'm just going to close with that. But JR, I just wanted to, you know, if I could just take 2 minutes and close something when you're finished, or do it now? Okay. I it's amazing when you're up here with like-minded people, you always come up with thoughts, you know, and they just roll off your head. So, you know, a couple of ideas. Some of the things that we did, like this brother was talking about when your story dies down. I'm going to tell you, I had reporters tell me they did a story on my brother 60 Minutes, and they said, oh, they killed the story. I said, why? Well, he doesn't have an execution date, so it's not sexy anymore. I mean, they were going to put on a story about my brother an hour before he's scheduled to be executed. I'm like, what the hell difference was that going to do? But that's what we have. But you know what? When you have a story where you can't get a story about your family member, everybody know about the Georgia Aquarium, the largest aquarium in the United States. I think we beat out Chicago now about the aquarium thing. But anyway, they spent billions of dollars to build that. So what I did, I showed an analogy between the billions of dollars they put in a fish tank and the money they would not put into the education system and the money they're funneling into the prison system. And then I talked about my brother's case. And we got 3 paragraphs about my brother, and we talk about a fish tank. You see what I'm saying? And then what did they do? That newspaper named my brother Person of the Year next to Martin Luther King because he was the most talked about story in Georgia last year. So you have to do those things. We also, the doctors that do executions, they take an oath to do no harm. I'm a nurse, so what we did, we picketed his house. We shut him down. What did they do? They put a city ordinance and said you couldn't picket in a certain neighborhood. But we sent over 10,000 letters in 2 days to his business and told him, if you help with this execution, you will lose your medical license. And he started calling the Department of Corrections. Well, I don't want to get involved. So there's different things you can do. We have a book, it's called The Rest of Our Lives. You know, the United States has over 3,000 children, mostly black and Latino, serving life without parole from age 8 to 16. There's only 12 other children in the rest of the world serving a sentence like that. But we have over 3,000, and that number is growing. And people don't even know that. We have to challenge these black caucuses, the Latino caucuses, these lawmakers that are not doing anything, that are standing up here. If you call them Novocaine, we call them handkerchief heads in the South. I mean, we got to get them out of there. The racial terrorism that's happening in our communities and the apathy of the folk that feel that we have arrived because you can shop at Walmart and do whatever you want, we have not arrived.
Barack Obama has not brought us to a point where we have arrived. And I'm going to tell you something. We really need to do things. They said in my brother's case, we need to uphold the sanctity of the jury and execute Troy Davis. When Brian Nichols didn't get the death penalty, then the state attorney said, we need to change the law. So now they're proposing a law where you don't even have to have the jury's permission to give the death sentence. So they're really trying to do different things. And then the last thing that I want to say is, well, two things. One, I understand from riding with a gentleman today that BART, the ridership is up 10%, 8%. Don't go to BART one day. Shut it down one day. You have the power to not get on BART. If you just organize one day, if it's February 23rd or March, whenever, and just tell all your groups, ride your bicycle, carpool, whatever you do, but don't ride BART. Even if you make t-shirts, white t-shirt from Walmart and a marker, do not ride BART today. Somebody's going to pay attention to you, and BART will see that they're losing millions of dollars. That's what they listen to, money. Yes. It's about money. You have that power. And then the other thing that I wanted to say was that I was in the military for a long time, and I'm going to tell you something. I have seen and heard things that I know that the United States is terrorists. I have seen things that just have tormented my soul. But I'm going to tell you something. When I was 17 years old, I went into the Army because I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to make a difference. But the first thing I was taught was how to kill people. And I was proficient at it. And I'm going to tell you something. I was shooting at tanks, inanimate objects, and silhouettes. They didn't teach me to shoot at you in your leg or your arm. Center mass. And when I did that, I got promotion points, and I got this little badge that said I was expert. I can set up grenade launchers, I can shoot rocket launchers, M16, M60s, I can set up Claymore mines, and I can do it very well. So what I'm saying to you was that it wasn't until I was in the first Gulf War that I had an epiphany sitting in a foxhole, that I had an epiphany that I always watch Westerns, and we know who the good guy is and the bad guy is at the beginning, either by the color of their clothes or their mannerisms. But we always wanted the good guy to kill the bad guy, and that was all right. But here I am, 20-some years old, and I could be a murderer because I was taught to do it. And because I was in the military, it was okay as long as my boss or the military told me that I need to go shoot this person. So my thing is that we got bullets that ricochet, blow up, break bones, do all kind of things. And in the United States, it's whoever got the biggest gun, whoever got the biggest power. But it took me a long time to realize that I was taught to kill people before I was taught to heal people. And then when I went to nuclear biological warfare school, I was mortified at the amount of chemicals that we can use to kill and destroy the body. And as a nurse, I would have to decontaminate you first before I could treat you, but you're going to be dead. You're not going to survive. So we need to understand what's happening in our communities. The average child will have witnessed 10,000 murders on television by the time they're 18 years old. That's not video games. That's not movie theaters. That's just television. The movies that people go to and they spend $20, $30 to go see are blockbusters, are movies where somebody is butchering, raping, and killing somebody for 2 or 3 hours. And they're blockbusters, and we support those things. But when you go out and you do those things in your communities, and you're a certain color, or you don't make a certain amount of money, or the witnesses are victims of certain people, they're going to crush you. And you need to understand that. They glorify violence in this country, but then you're only allowed to use it when the U.S. wants you to use it. I could be Timothy McVeigh. I could be this officer that killed Oscar Grant. I could be this person that lied on my brother Troy. But the thing about it is what you need to understand is that if we don't make a conscious effort to attack and address these lawmakers, to get together, and with these cameras, what you need to do is if you can't get and the TV's here, get on the TV's at the BBC. You can send that stuff over to Europe. But you know what you need to show analogies of while you're videotaping? Show old pictures of South Africa and the apartheid. Show kids walking around hungry in Rwanda. And then show pictures of things that's happening in the ghettos in the United States. And I guarantee you, they can't tell where you when you're in Africa and when you're in the States. And then when you show those analogies to people in the other countries and at the UN, and then make them show that to the world, it's going to come back to the States. Because see, as long as they can keep that dirt in other people's backyard, then the attention is away from them. Nobody in Savannah, Georgia knows about Oscar Grant unless they're somebody like me, an activist or social. They didn't play that on the TV in Savannah, Georgia. If you walk around and ask somebody about Oscar Grant in Savannah, Georgia, it's like, who is Oscar Grant? So I'm going to tell you, what you need to do is you really need to think outside the box sometimes. But you have to understand that this is bigger than you, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than Troy. I have a young black man that I'm raising, and my son has two parents just like me, but I'm telling you something. My son is educated and can put together a sentence and can probably tell you more about black people, white people, can't anything, and he'll tell you what he wants to be. When my son walks up and somebody says something to him, he'll look you in your eye, shake your hand firmly, say his name, and if you ask him what he wants to be, he'll tell you what he wants to be, knows where he wants to go to school and how much money he wants to make. And people look at him like, wow. And they think that he's an anomaly. It's not that he's an anomaly. But what it is that the men that are like him are locked up or dead. And that's why they use a prison system. Because if they can use a prison system to keep us locked up and dead, because if you look at it, I always tell people, the black male is one of the most powerful entities on the planet. That's why they attack you. And so you have to step up and do something. And I applaud you, white, black, brown, yellow, whatever color, ethnic group, race, religion you are. But you have to stand together, and we have to show people that we have to stand up for ourselves first, and we can't be apologetic with that. And that is the situation. And I didn't mean to run on, but it's just so many things that that we don't understand, that we don't see. But the fact that you're here means that you care. And so don't just let it sit in this room. You know, sometimes I'll walk into a restaurant, not a restaurant, what do you call those things, a little truck stop, I'm going to give it to you, in Georgia. Whenever I feel, what my son called it, froggy, you know, like I just want to be disruptive, I just walk into a little hick, little gas station in Georgia with some kind of shirt on about something about the racism or the death penalty or something that's just unjust. And believe me, some bubble or somebody coming to say something. As soon as I get them engaged, they got 5 minutes of conversation. And when you finish with that stupidness, I got you. You know, so don't always talk to people that listen or are like-minded like you. Talk to people that don't agree with you and get them engaged. But when you engage them, your job is not to persuade them to see your side. Your job is to tell them the truth. Because one or two things will happen. Either they'll get it or they won't. But you told them the truth and you move on.
Connection between getting the community involved more with so-called community leaders and organized groups that be saying they represent them, but these people don't never see them. You know, even when going out talking to regular people, you know, family members, whoever, they really not engaged or know what really going on. Like in Oakland, Richmond, so forth. It's like, that's they still feel like that's distance. Really, regular youngsters and people my age, they know a brother got killed by Bart, but really don't know the gist of it, or because they too busy, you know, out there Exactly. So how do we...
Let me say real quick. We pride ourselves on forming coalitions. We pride ourselves on forming coalitions.
And we got a thing. We said we turn the communities into classrooms. We have different tactics that we've implemented. Just for example, we had a PLCC code of conduct. It's a code of conduct. We approach the streets, you know what I'm saying? We went into some point, you into the struggle. We got certain codes like no snitching, no rape, so on and so forth. We have also the code of culture, in which expressed Dave Chappelle block party. Like, we talk about different political prisoner cases. And I spoke with a lot of so-called artists who are not quote-unquote conscious. Even within the last 3 weeks, Vita Weaver and Stalin, they have the Oakland after, Oscar Grant aftermath, you know what I'm saying? We talked about the case, and our misinformation is tying in with so Troy Davis and other cases at the conclusion of this rap song. Let me say this though, I'm a realist, as an organizer, I'm a realist. I have no romanticism about all people gonna get together on the same point of unity. Now, I approach the street as a realist. I understand that people get involved, that people, I'm gonna say this real slowly, including them brothers that you talk to on the streets, people get involved in the struggle and become conscious one of three ways: inspiration, aspiration, or desperation. Ain't no babies when you're born in 5 months, man. Some people go through different experiences. I gotta say, also we say heat turns more than meat black. Again, heat turns more than meat black. What that means is, a lot of brothers I used to talk to on the streets, they was there, they heard me, but didn't hear me. They heard how much A-ball and cocaine cost, they heard who took what street, who baby mama, you know, some food around, who baby daddy, they heard all that. They ain't nothing I was saying about the case of Aaron Patterson and other people. However, when I see them in state bill with 75 years, excuse me, Chairman, what you were saying about the struggle, the concentration camps. Michael Jackson initially said it don't make a difference if you black or white. He didn't hear all this other stuff that was going on in our community at the time. But when he called their case, the song changed, that they don't care about us. Kobe Bryant started quoting Dr. King when? Because of the case. C. Murray, down in New Orleans. Slave Pete, you might refer to him as Master P. Slave Pete's brother, biological brother. We've been down in New Orleans organizing. Case of Razoo and Bouncer, I'm sorry, they choked your brother down there. We got a coordinator down there for our organization, Chewy, Clark, the 18 years in Angola. C. Murray been the bank holler in New Orleans, in old fam, old boy, heard about none of this though. However, that's some strange coincidence. When he called that case, his representative called us. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's some strange coincidence. So let's be realists. It's organizers now. The reality, it takes certain situations sometimes. I studied the 60s. A lot of people get this romantic view, like everybody just jumped up and everybody's on the struggle, so on and so forth. I know the real deal. I know the guts, not the glory. I know there was an era prior to the Black Power movement where cats was running around talking about your hair fried, dyed, laid to the side, turned like act your age, not your color. I know it was a situation when one of the largest street organizations in this country, the Blackstone Rangers, it was initially known as had a branch of it known as the FBI Stones. I know that James Brown had a whole different song playing that first before he talking about making I'm black and I'm proud. I know about Emmanuel Jimmy Lalameen, formerly known as H.R. Brown, who literally drove out on him and put that hair in the tub, heater on him. Told him, you better go back in the studio and change this song. He came back out to him, I'm black and I'm proud. I know there was a movement in place that forced the devil disciples to get up publicly. Say, we now change our name, you know, as a black disciple due to some political education we see from Chairman Freedom Black Panther Party. I know there was a movement in place that was able to flip the script after the FBI told the vice lords they'd give 16th Street under the condition that they do not allow the Black Panther Party to win a free medical center on 16th Street, in which Chairman Freedom's response was, we love you, brothers. We'll kill 18 of y'all asses for the masses. Next advice was working in the Free Medical Center. Things just don't come out of a vacuum. Mm. So I'm gonna study time, study conditions, and some things are premature. This cat named Ja Rule one time in Chicago. Gonna go sit down with him. Counselor meeting 2 minutes before that. This chairman, what's up? I said, it's premature. He said, what's up, Chester? Nigga, think you been talking to a groupie or something. I told him, I said, I'll let you be fighting a case or something. Left up out of me. Some things are premature. The timing, all that. I say, baby's gonna be born in 5 months. It might be a relationship that you might think back. You might have a sister to say, man, if I was a little more mature, or she's a little more mature, that might have been a good relationship. Did it just want there? That's what we say. We say, seize the time. That's just a no slick soundbite. That's, see, studying the people, studying the climb. Like, I mean, I just watched over this one sister one time. She told me, y'all gotta do this move. And I said, look, you got the 60s. I got you. Hold on, I got you, man. 60s, the whole thing. Tied in. That just didn't happen. The whole conscious level with Vietnam going down. A lot of times people, that's why I draw a correlation about Iraq. A lot of times you can say, about, you talk about black people all day, people don't see it. We talk about other people, you say, oh, that's wrong. The Vietnam situation, Dr. King assassinated. The time was right for May 2nd, 1967, when the Black Panther Party marched from the state legislature. Challenged the mold for that, what they call the Panther Bill. We'll put the Black Panther Party on the international scene. We'll start chapters, start sparking up all over the world. The climate was right. People that exalted certain things, it's certain discussion that we can have today, we couldn't have 10 years ago. You guys, you told us about getting framed, you know, a lot of people need to go check yourself, check your own resume. That's what a lot of times people say, I read a Sasha Shakur book, I read it different than I read it before. The conscious level. So I say this whole thing with Oscar Grant is so bad. It's, in the words of Channel Mount say talk, it's terrible, but it's fine. The timing of it, in direct contrast, of the 80th birthday of Dr. King, direct contrast of Barack Obama getting inaugurated away, said nothing about these conditions in our community. So we see in the time when we be able to bust out colonialism and neo-colonialism, we said something wrong with this picture, regardless of how much Barack Obama makeup they put on it. It's something wrong with this picture. So we seizing the time. Because a lot of people got caught with this whole thing about Bush and some personal thing. No, we're talking about this system. That's the problem our people make in the community. Man, maybe what you said talking about now. Again, I repeat, this ain't no personal thing about Oscar Grant. I didn't know him from a can of paint. I borrowed money to get up here, man. These are not no, we gotta stop looking at these strokes on personal subjective thing. We use these as tools and tactics the same way. They don't care about Mercedes, the people when they bonding them out. They bonding them out to send a message to the pigs. Man, we got your back, man, and it's okay, and it's justified, and we reward you to fuck over black and oppressed people. I'm saying we grab tools and tactics, not just my buddy, my cousin, whatever. I even know Aaron Patterson when he was tortured. We take these cases as symbolism, as tools, man. Ain't about my homie, my friend. Man, it's my comrade, man. It's a war going way, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, man, we have missions, man. They not snatch misinformation off the streets, not because of me and him kicking on personal thing. Man, this is not only my misinformation, the people's misinformation, man. They snatched this, man. This one been exposed in other countries in the community, you know what I'm saying? If we have ideological difference, whatever. Man, let us get the word, man, some of the ministers keep on saying something tomorrow. Man, we all get objective. We got to get back. That's how we got to start looking at struggle. They play up that this whole subjective thing, me and I. When I grew up, I spoke incorrect English. I say me and I. It was us and we all the time, man. A community people, and it's a community struggle. Thousands of people. Well,
yeah. So before we get out of here, we got a few announcements that I want to make. Mac, you can come up here and Chris talk.